Well, the year is 1960. A very pregnant mom walks into a loved bakery for a chocolate eclair. It's a regular habit to satisfy her craving. After being almost a month overdue, her baby boy is born. And this second-born son grows up in the church. And meets a girl at another church event where the churches are together, and she's immediately smitten with him. He's 13, she's 12. Years later, after numerous encounters, like youth group events and camp and in Pennsylvania, joint services that we did together, this girl's father becomes his pastor. And as per an arrangement in her family, he asked her father, who is also her pastor, to permission to date her. After 6 years of dating, and four of those were when she was in college, they were married. And since she was very close to her father, she asked for, during their premarital counseling, to go over leaving and cleaving, and she asked also to discuss the subject of submission. So today, we will discuss five considerations for Christian wives to live God-honoring lives, to serve, to show Christ in the world. There are some handouts on the back table if you would like to take notes for them. So our first consideration is our culture to oppose. And typically, husbands and men are portrayed as bumbling idiots, right? We see that all the time. And in attempt to elevate women, we've totally insulted and emasculated men. When Vito and I were first married, we had decided that we were going to discuss anything that we would purchase, like how we would spend our money. So when a kid came door-to-door selling, my reply to him was, "I'm going to talk to my husband." And he said, "What? Aren't you a woman of the 80s? I'm dating myself here. But he was already learning what the world was promoting. As Christ followers, we need to look different from the world. We need to follow the world or follow the word. It's a clear call. But sometimes our interactions with our husbands can be a little subtle. So I want you to enjoy this clip from comedian Tim Hawkins.
I love marriage. Marriage, yeah, is awesome. It's so beneficial. So many benefits for a guy when you get married. Ha ha. Like when you get married, you're a guy, you get a little helper in the car. Ha ha. I love my little helper in the car. She knows everything about driving. It's very convenient for me. Ha ha. But sometimes I get confused. See, I don't know how I get anywhere without my helper in the car. I'd probably be bouncing off trees and buildings and stuff, but she's there to help. Like, she tells me when the light changes colors and everything. It's very convenient and helpful. Like, it's green. Thank you, helper. Because I was confused. I didn't know. Thanks, Captain Prism. She's very helpful in the car for me. I always know how fast I'm going with my helper. She lets me know. You know how fast you're going? Yeah, I got a speedometer right here, but thanks for the backup. That thing ever snaps in half, I got you to back me up.
I'm so glad you're laughing, because but sometimes it takes a little bit of a subtle form, right? Our desire to control our husbands or to be their boss. We had the privilege of having Vodi Bakum here a few years ago. Do you remember when he came to visit our church? What a blessing. He's with Jesus now, but he said this: "I will not violate the teaching of the text in order to somehow sound more appropriate for the culture. I'm a herald of the truth of the gospel, and my job is to teach the gospel according to what the authors have said, not according to what I think the culture wants to hear." So praise God for that. Praise God for these people that are willing to stand up and teach the word. So I want to know, what does the word say to us as wives? And this is the next slide. The second thing, that second consideration that we have is our command to obey. Genesis 2, 18 through 25 gives us the creation account. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up the place with the flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This is at last bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. And so in his commentary on this passage, John MacArthur says, in verse 131, God proclaimed his creation good, individually and very good, collectively. He viewed his creation as being to that point the perfect outcome to his creative plan. However, in observing man's state as not good, he was commenting on his incompleteness before the end of the sixth day because the woman, Adam's counterpart, had not yet been created. The words of this verse emphasize man's need for a companion, a helper, and an equal. He was incomplete without someone to complement him in fulfilling the task of filling, multiplying, and taking dominion over the earth. So what a clear sense of identity that we're given here as wives. We are to be his helpmate, we are to fulfill our purpose, and also, he states that marriage is an intimate, indissoluble union. It's very sacred. So let's look at Ephesians 5, 22 to 24, and then 33b. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. And then 33b says, let the wife see that she respects her husband. Someone called this the biblical epicenter of the conversation swirling around the respect in marriage. Pastor Randy stated, he preached on June 4th, 2017, and he called it What Your Spouse Wants. And he talked about how he believes that this verse contains the secret for a happy marriage. So those of you that aren't married yet, you hold on to this verse. This is so good. He also reminded us at one of his sweetheart retreats to embrace his ordained concept. Use the instruction manual and it works better. Know what the designer of marriage intended. Submission in the Greek means to voluntarily place oneself under. John Piper presents wifely submission as the divine calling to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and help carry it through according to her gifts. Isn't that a beautiful thought, to think how you can use your God-given gifts together with your husband and just make a great marriage out of it? Isn't that beautiful? And then there's another teaching fellow from Ligonier that says, these are the most important words in the universe for building a God-glorifying marriage. Submission has gotten a bad rap over the years. I used to be a mentor for a MOPS group, and whenever we brought up submission, they called it the S word. And that made me so sad, because it's not something that we should be fearing or be revolted by. It's something that we should be grasping onto. And the submissive wife is actually a model of inner strength. So let's look at 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. And this can address, some of you may be thinking, well, I have an unsaved husband. My husband isn't saved. What do I do here? So this will address that. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external and the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and you do not fear anything that is frightening. So the requirement to submit to our husbands comes straight from God, to us as wives, and we're answerable to him for our obedience. Colossians 3:18 says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord." So that word hupotasso in the Greek means to place in an orderly fashion under. Hupo is under, tasso is to order. Paul discusses the new self's relationship to others. And this Greek verb denotes willingly putting oneself under someone or something. And then 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God." Susan Hunt has a great quote. She says, "The true woman is not afraid to place herself in a position of submission. She does not have to grasp. She does not have to control. Her fear dissolves in the light of God's covenant promise to be her God and to live within her. Submission is simply a demonstration of her confidence in the sovereign power of the Lord God." Isn't that beautiful? So the next consideration I want to talk about is our Christ to glorify. Pastor Randy also said this, that our aim in marriage is to be equipped by the word to live out a convincing imitation of the relationship between Christ and the church. He also states that if you apply Ephesians 5:22 to 33, he's confident that you can have a joy-saturated marriage and one that honors God by appropriately displaying with your spouse the glorious marriage that Jesus Christ has with his bride, the church. So my priority is to God, and that means I obey him. What an honor, but what a responsibility. John MacArthur states, "The intimacy and sacredness of the love relationship between believing marriage partners are to be a visual expression of the love between Christ and his church." That's a sobering, convicting thought, that we are to reflect Christ and his church. And John MacArthur cautions what's at stake here: the honor of the word of God. Where there's disobedience, there is a statement being made about the importance of Scripture. So ask yourself, as Carolyn Mahaney encourages, how can I, as a wife, bring honor to the gospel? It's so much deeper, isn't it, than just, I'm hanging out with my husband and we're having a good time and we're married now. And this is deeper. It's so much deeper, isn't it? I have a role to play in picturing the gospel. So let's look at Titus 2:3-5. And I'm going to talk here about another consideration that is our church to benefit. Titus 2:3-5 says, "Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. So in Paul's letter to Titus, in these verses that we just read, he exhorts the older women to be reverent in their behavior, to be examples of godliness. And MacArthur says the obvious implication is that older women must exemplify the virtues that they encourage. And here at Grace, our leadership sees the importance of this model, has been actively seeking to implement this in our church. Our women's ministry team, together with the excellent teaching of Marilyn Beltley, is revealing the commands of God for us as women, to us, creating an environment in which we can live in obedience and grow in grace together. So come see me if you have any questions about that. I would love to get you some answers of what you're looking for. But we're here to encourage one another. If we look at Hebrews 10:24, we're to continually stir one another on toward love and good deeds. And I have to say, I love the attitude of the younger women in this church. You are vessels to be poured into, and you're willing, you're humble, and you want to learn. I love that. I love seeing that. I love that there's women that aren't even married here that came to this. And praise God for you, wanting to learn how to live a godly life and seeking him, and praise God for that. And us as older women, can't believe I'm saying that. I look in the mirror and there's all that gray, but that's where, thank you. But I'm one of those older women now, so I love what this church is implementing and seeing happen in obedience to this command here. And I love that I'm seeing relationships being formed and people loving on each other and growing together. And that's how God wants it to be. Praise God for that. But praise God for our leadership that sees that as a real need in this church, and for our women's ministry team for making that really happen. Honesty and accountability are beautiful things in a relationship that God can use to encourage us in Christ-likeness. So in preparing for this class, I asked a few of our leaders I asked them this question. What is it that you desire / seek / want most from your wife in your marriage relationship? That was fun. It was fun. I'm telling you, one man, if you're a lead woman's and you want to know which response was your husband's, come see me later. And I'm not going to give that away. But there was one man that responded to me within 20 minutes, right away. And he said, I would desire, seek, want faithfulness, gentleness, and respect from my wife. I was like, yes, because that's what I was looking for. But then I got some beautiful, more deep answers. Some really, really, I was blessed by these answers. Somebody else said, I desire, seek, want most from my wife in my marriage relationship, whatever the Bible commands for me to want and for her to be and do. It's less relevant to us what I or she wants, but what the Bible tells us to want to do. Wow. Then I had another one say, he just did 1 through 4, appreciated, respected, encouraged, well-fed, and often. You could probably guess who some of these guys are, what their answers are. And then he gave me some silly answers as well. But then someone else said, as far as what I want most from my wife, I want what the Lord wants for her. I want her to be continually sanctified and seeking the Lord. Specific to marriage, I want her to embrace and be convinced of the role that God gave a wife and mother. Embrace all the responsibilities, difficulties, and pleasures of the role. When she is satisfied and embraces her role, there will be peace in the home. And by God's grace, she does. Another man said, loving kindness. He had a hard time because I said, what do you want most? And he said, oh, I can't pick one. He said, that's why I haven't answered you, because I can't pick just one. But when he said, okay, this is what I want, loving kindness. And another shared that her love for Christ would then passionately overflow to him, that she obey what Christ told her to do in marriage and in life application. Are these beautiful testimonies from godly leaders who seek to live God-honoring lives? And these are the men that are leading us. Isn't that a blessing? What a great thing. But we also benefit, our church benefits from godly leaders who seek this, but it's also benefiting from godly marriages that reflect his relationship with his bride, the church. So the last consideration that I want to talk about is our choice to make. In Ephesians 5:22, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And I love those four words, as to the Lord, because there might be times where you don't want to submit, and there might be times where there might be just extenuating circumstances that makes it a little bit more difficult for you. But what does it tell us here? As to the Lord. As to the Lord. So respond to your husband submissively as if you were responding to Jesus. Carolyn Mahaney says that respect is a decision we make to obey God's word. So am I prepared to trust God to lead my husband to lead me? I don't know if you realize this, but men have fragile egos. I read a book by a woman that was very popular when I first got married. And remember, that was a long time ago. Her name is Maribel Morgan. And this book was The Total Woman. And she said that your husbands don't want your advice. They want your admiration. And this is something that has taken me a long time to learn in my marriage. My husband owns his own business. And so he'll come home. And all of the things that go along with that, I hear about it. And I'm a, let's put a Band-Aid on it and let's fix this, let's make it better. Do you need a piece of paper that you can fill out, a form that you can, you know. I just want to fix it and make it better. And he has told me, and we've been married a while, and I'm finally learning, he just wants a listening ear. And so, just remember in your marriage, you're like two pieces of a puzzle that when they work together, they make a whole. And Jack, in one of his numerous sports analogies, he just did one today in church too, so he says that our husbands are the quarterbacks calling the plays. But the plays come from the offensive coordinator. So the husbands run the plays given to us in the Word of God, and we use our gifts to make the play as good as possible. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And in listening to something from R.C. Sproul, he said that the chief goal of the Christian is righteousness. That is to, when he says seek first, that's the word protos. And that means that it's the foremost in terms of importance. So it's the top priority of the Christian life is to seek his righteousness. So here's some thoughts I have for you. In praise and prayer, back in June 21st, 2023, Bill Taylor shared in the passage in Ephesians 5, and he said this, what does the unsaved world see in my marriage? Don't let our lives discredit what we've told others. And just last Sunday, Mother's Day 2026, Pastor Jack reminded us that God is the owner of our marriage. He calls the shots. So put our abilities to work to accomplish his purposes in your family. And then just another quote from Kathy Keller. She says, our role is to submit. Christ's role was to submit. We play the Jesus role as we submit. So have you ever thought that submission to your husband is obedience to God's command and showing Christ to those around you? what God asks of us, he was also willing to do. And he helped us. He will help us to do this. So some points of application. Pray for your husband. Here's a little prayer challenge. You can screenshot that if you want. But there's also a book called 5 Things to Pray for Your Spouse, if you want to get really practical. And years ago when I was in a small group with Dee Monteleone, she encouraged us as wives to pray for our husbands. And so this is how I roll. I got to do everything like scrapbooking kind of. So I made this book, and these were all the prayer points that we had in it. So pray for his, number one was pray for his relationship with God, and then there were verses that went along with it. So I have this if you'd like to come look at it. And I also have my wedding bulletin with my vows, and I would encourage you to look at those from time to time. You know, just remind yourself, this is what I promised years ago. Wow, ouch, how am I doing? And maybe even deeper would be asking him, how am I doing? And then another book that I just wanted to share with you that I got some information from was Feminine Appeal. You guys are seeing this from a lot of us teachers that are doing classes, but it's an awesome book, and it just has so many nuggets of truth in it. So I would encourage you to get a hold of that copy. And then also encourage them. Another point of application, encourage them. What made you fall in love with them in the first place? What is it that you love about them? Which sometimes can be the very thing that drives you to frustration now. But what is it that made you fall in love with them in the first place? And remember that. Focus on the good. Oh my goodness, when we focus on all of the ick that's out there, even in the news, when you think about all the news, what's going on, focus on the good. Focus on what you see in him that you love. I love you taking notes, Courtney. You go, girl. Probably the newliest married here in the group. Good job, girl. Encourage them. Encourage him to his face. Encourage him in front of your children. And encourage him when he's not around, because maybe it'll just get back to him that you were talking about him. And another point of application is I made some cards. Back when Pastor Randy talked about what your spouse wants back in 2017, I went through my notes because I keep all my notes, and I realized that I'm a card maker. I love to make cards. So I thought it would be fun to make a card that says, "Babe, I respect you," or "Babe, I really respect you," because that's what he was talking about in his sermon back then. And so I have made cards for each one of you to take to your husbands. Just write what you want in there, but bless them, because this is what they need. They need your appreciation. They need your admiration. They need to know that they're loved and admired by you. Those of you that aren't married yet, take them anyway, because you might use them someday. You probably guessed it already, but that baby that was born in 1960 is my husband, Vito. And he was the cute little one on the left. And if you look at him, I think he looks like a lot like our grandson, Daniel. But yeah, those paratory genes are very strong. Does she have it back up there? You're so good. Very strong genes. But I'm just so proud of him. Can you indulge me for a minute and let me respect my husband? Sorry. We're going to be married 42 years next month. And he puts up with a lot. He puts up with a lot. I am not an easy person to live with. And praise God for him. His fingerprints are all over this church. That's how he serves God. And I love that, because he says, "I'm not a teacher, I'm not a reader." But he does. He works with his hands. And if you need to know where his fingerprints are, I'll let you know. But I just praise God for him, and praise God. He makes it easy for me to submit to him. And he lets me do what I want to serve the Lord. But yet, there was a time where I asked his guidance in a direction, and he said, "No, I don't think that's what God wants for you." And then when something else came along, he said, "I think this is what God wants for you." So I just praise God for him. And I'm sorry, thank you for letting me do that. I'm proud of him and how he chooses to serve the Lord and how the Lord allows him to serve him. And I'm just so blessed by all of you being here. What a blessing to be with you together today. So do we have time? Oh, yeah, we do. Perfect. We have time for questions. Be gentle. Or any comments or anything that you might have to share. I did hear some blessings this morning from women. One woman shared that she wasn't going to come today because her husband couldn't be here and she wanted to be together as a family. And she said that her husband urged her to go. And she knew that this was happening today. So praise God that she listened to her husband's advice and that she was able to hear what she needed to hear today. And that was a blessing and encouragement to me, hearing going into this, that, yep, you're doing your job. You're doing what God asks of you. So praise God for that. And then there was another woman that said that she heard about this a few weeks ago and said that she's been studying for it. Like, oh man, if I'm going to hear about this, I got to get ready for this. And yeah, so praise God for y'all. What a blessing. Yes.
My husband and my son serve with him on the landscaping ministry, and then they fellowship and go for breakfast afterwards every Saturday morning. And my husband has, on multiple occasions, have mentioned things that they've heard from Vito.
Thank you. For the recording, I should repeat that, but she said that he's been helpful in things that he said, even though he doesn't claim to be a teacher, that just in just everyday life, and this is what we're here for, is to live together and to encourage each other and to bless each other, help each other to grow. And I look around and there's many of you that have really helped me grow, and I'm so grateful for each one of you. And I'm excited for those of you that are going to get married soon and have it in your future. But really, if you have any questions or anything that you want to talk about, I'm here. I love it. I mean, since I'm that gray-haired lady in the mirror, I got to go with it. So, but praise God for each one of you.
Debbie, we read that book as a...
Yes. Oh, you did do this one?
We did do that.
Cool.
As you do that, your heart really starts to soar and tune more. So it's like it's something maybe to just go through the book, you know, like you said.
Excellent.
Really, that's what prayer is about, changing you anyway.
Excellent. Five things to pray for your spouse, Melissa Kruger. I'm sorry, I have Michael and Melissa Kruger. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Cynthia shared that their group did that together, and it really deepened their relationship and your love for them and your appreciation for them. And when you pray for somebody, you invest in their life, and it does. It changes you. Beautiful. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. Ooh, we still have 4 minutes. That time that I shared about, it actually was a business opportunity that came up, and I thought I might enjoy it, and somebody that was leaving said, I'll give you all my customers, and he said, no, I don't think so. That would have been like a rubber stamping opportunity. But then when Creative Memories came along and Adriana was a baby, I did that for 14 years. And he said, no, that's your wheelhouse. That's where you got to do that. And so I helped people put their photo albums together for 14 years. I got to go on vacations with people and go to weddings and through their pictures. It was really neat. So, but there's also been like financial decisions where, yeah, it's okay. you're the boss. But they're the ones that have to answer to God for how they lead their families. So remember that. That's a tremendous responsibility. And if we can make it easier for them, what a blessing that is. You know, if you can just be the wife that God wants you to be. And if you have a marriage that this is particularly hard, let me know. I'd love to pray for you. Thanks, ladies. Can I close this in prayer? Okay. Lord, I just thank you again for my sisters. And I thank you for this place where we can just be together. We can be looking to you and seeking you. And I just pray that you would help us with the things that we've learned today to implement them into our lives, to realize that we are serving you when we serve our husbands, when we submit to them, when we respect them. And thank you for these women that are teachable and that want to learn, and that you would just give us the strength that we need to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen.